Welcome back to another awesome episode of an Investor's Journey podcast. This is episode 27. So for those of you that are just joining us, the way the episodes break down is every show that you see with a number on it, so like this one, episode 27, it's an actual strategy or technique that we're sharing with you, something that we implement step by step so you guys can try it out yourself. Everything else is more like lessons learned, you know, screw ups that we've done and all the other side of the journey. So this one, we're going to actually cover how we handle cold calling step by step. We're going to share everything that we do, all of our scripts, all our process, everything that we do with cold calling. So make sure to have something to take some notes with. There's going to be a lot of data being thrown at you. Data or tactics? I would say tactics. Yeah. So there's going to be a lot of tactics thrown at you. Definitely write things down. Send it to whoever you have on your team that's handling cold calling, or maybe you're training somebody to do it. This is going to be step-by-step everything that we do. So without further ado, we're going to get into the episode. So first thing I wanted to cover is, we like to, when we do our marketing, we prefer to create our own marketing list, right? I have said this before. I'm not a fan of buying foreclosure lists, probates, all of these, because they're getting bombarded by every newbie out there that just went to a seminar. So anybody that got sold a seminar or something by a guru, they're doing all these lists because it's easy to actually get. So, I mean, that's why you sell it. You don't want them. Gurus don't want to make real estate seem as hard as it really is. So, yes, I'm trash talking gurus because they all fucking suck. But, you know, these strategies, they used to work back in the day. Right now, it's very competitive. Everybody's doing this. So we like to compile our own, which is why I did a podcast, which I'm going to link below, a while ago, on how we do driving for dollars. I prefer driving for dollars 10 times over any other list, because it's something that unless somebody else is driving those particular neighborhoods, they're not going to have the same list that you have. And even if they are, so we have an apprenticeship program going on, and we recently took out a group of them out driving for dollars. So I was teaching them, you know, what we look on houses, how we look at them, how we analyze them, all these things. And as we were going through the neighborhoods, they were writing down the houses that they considered, after we told them, you know, what a distress looks like, what they considered to be distress. And every single one of them had different houses on the list. Now, it doesn't make it right or wrong. It's just we all have a different perception on what is distress. So even if other people are driving the same neighborhoods as you, they may not be coming up with the same exact list that you are. So the landscape of competition is a lot more open because it's very, very subjective, right? As opposed to getting a foreclosure list, which everybody has the same foreclosure list of the same people. So you're all hitting the same people. But driving for dollars, you know, not everybody hits the same neighborhoods. Not everybody sees the same houses. So you have a lot more variation there. So I recommend scroll down, listen to that podcast, listen to that episode, and like always, reach out if you have any questions. First thing I wanted to talk about is why is cold calling better than door knocking, in my opinion? My opinion matters, so you should listen to it. Just kidding. But in my opinion, the reason cold calling, I believe, is better than door knocking is, one, it's less time consuming, right? Door knocking is extremely time consuming. It is something that you have to go physically door by door knocking and selling. So from one door to the next, you're losing minutes, if not longer, if you actually get somebody to answer the door. And then, like, what happened? So at the same group, I took them door knocking, and it was that day, I believe, is like 98 degrees outside or something. It was hot as hell outside. And it's uncomfortable, right? Even the people that you're knocking, sometimes you're disturbing them, whatever it may be. So door knocking is it's a tough strategy to really, you know, it works. So I'm not saying it doesn't, but it's a tough strategy. All right. What I like about cold calling is that you literally have a million chances at first impression. So let's say you go door knocking, you knock on the door and you piss them off, right? Because you probably woke them up from a nap, whatever it may be, or they were in a bad mood. It's really hard for you to go back 2 weeks or a month later and door knock them again and they not remember you. You know, it's very hard for that to happen. Majority of the people are going to remember you, especially when you door knock them with the same message, right? You're going to door knock, they're going to remember that you came by before. And even if they were entertaining the idea of selling, you there could be more pissed off than anything and they'll turn you away. But cold calling, you have literally a million chances at a first impression. Because you can keep calling and calling and calling, and they're never going to really know it's you. You understand? There's so many times that if you haven't done cold calling, you will realize that when you call enough people, you're going to have a lot of them that are going to say, man, I already told you I'm not selling, right? And this is the first time you ever called because they think everybody's the same, right? So they think that the 50 phone calls they got before you was you all 50 times. So the same way they think that, they're not going to remember you if you never called them. So you have, this gives you an opportunity of a first impression every single time you call. So cold calling to me is one of the best strategies you can do. It's something that you can do from home, regardless of how hot or cold it is outside. You can do it at all hours. You don't have to waste any gas. All of this is just sitting there making phone calls. So that's really why I believe you should spend a lot more time cold calling than anything else. It's an amazing strategy. So you already used, let's say, the driving for dollars, or even you bought a list, whatever. You compile this list. Now, we use a service called American Tracers. So far, they've been pretty good. So far, they've been really good at giving us numbers that work. For every property, you might get anywhere from 4 to like 6 different numbers, right? And one of them is bound to work on a lot of them. So I want you, if you want to check out the service, they do batch skip tracing, which is one of the things I recommend if you have a large list. So this means that they give you a format there of how you should batch them, right? So it's like first name, last name, address, city, state, and zip code. So you do that in an Excel spreadsheet, you format it that way, and you send it to them, and they get it back to you within 24 hours. And if you use the promo code PRYME, PRYME, you're going to get a well over 50% off on your batch skip tracing. So definitely check it out. It's a great value. You're skip tracing every lead for, I think, about 15 cents a lead. So that's a hell of a discount. And they give you a ton of information, right? So use them, get your list, send it in. Now you get your list back. So what do you do? So this is very important, all right? Because cold calling can be extremely intimidating. It's something that not everybody likes to do. I still don't like doing it. You understand? Like just sitting there and just calling and calling and calling. It's not fun. And I know a lot of people, even people that are struggling in real estate, struggle to do cold calling because it's something that is, you got to get beyond that mental barrier that you have about cold calling, that fear of rejection, of sounding stupid, of, you know, screwing it up. And it's completely understandable. I mean, it's something that you're not comfortable doing, you're not used to doing. So it's very intimidating. The thing that you need to understand is that in business as well as in life, the only time you're ever going to grow is when you push yourself outside of your comfort zone, is when you do something that you're not normally used to doing, right? So you have to push yourself. These moments of uncertainty, of fear, should be moments that excite you because this is something that you're learning something new. You're growing, you're becoming better. You understand? And in the real estate space, that means that you're becoming a better investor because cold calling and door knocking, they're two strategies that are going to serve you throughout your whole real estate career. This is something that us, even though I have people that do cold calling and everything, there's so many times that I go, I'm driving a new neighborhood and I see a house. I'll write down an address. I come, I skip trace it real quick and I start calling, right? Because it's something that maybe nobody else noticed. You understand? So I get on them right away. And you cannot have that fear. Because if you have all these fears and all these doubts, your procrastination makes it that somebody else gets that deal and not you. You understand? So we're going to go over the tactics that we implemented to teach people and to help people how to get over this. But just keep in mind that failure is the only way to learn. You understand? It's damn near impossible to learn from success. Because success comes from something that you already know how to do, which is why you succeed at it. There's not much to learn if you already know how to do it, right? But if you fail, you already learn how not to do it. So the next step is to figure out how to do it. So you're learning, you're growing. So you got to start embracing failure if it's something that's holding you back. Because guess what? In business, life, real estate, whatever you do, failure is just a part of life. You're always going to fail and it's okay. It's the only way you're going to learn and the only way you're going to grow. So embrace it, make it your best friend and get excited every time you fail. That being said, we do a four-step process with cold calling. Step number one, the most important thing with cold calling, just get through the list. That's it. That's the only step you should ever worry about is get through the list. So you have a list of hopefully, you know, 500 to 1,000 addresses. If you're thinking 200 addresses, 100 addresses is enough, you're nowhere near that. You know, real estate is like I told you a couple episodes ago, is like baseball. It's the number of at-bats that matter. You understand? You just got to keep getting at bat because you're never guaranteed a home run. You're never guaranteed to score points. The only chance you have at doing this is by just getting at bat so many times that just by sheer number, you're going to succeed. You understand? So it's something that's not even based on skill or anything. It's just determination and not giving up. So if your number one goal is to get through the list, your only goal is to get through the list, it should not matter whether you stumble, you mumble, you sound like an idiot, you screw it up, they curse you out, they hang up on you. None of that matters because your goal was not to get a lead. It was not to get an appointment. It was to just get through the list. That is it. Just get through the list. And you're going to see that the point of this is the only way to get comfortable with something is to do it so much that you actually just become numb to it. So that is the only way with anything. When I first started real estate, direct mail marketing was working very, very well. I remember spending hundreds of dollars at the time. It was a lot of money, even though now people are spending thousands of dollars marketing. But at the time, I was spending hundreds of dollars. The phone would ring, and I would literally sit there looking at my phone ringing, just sweating, scared the hell out of my mind from answering that phone. And I would just look at it because I knew it was the marketing line because I put a specific line for that mail piece. So I knew it was the marketing line and I'm just looking at it. It's ringing and then it just stops ringing and I take my first breath, right? It was like, whew, okay. So it stopped ringing, but that didn't serve me because I spent money on that and they finally call and I'm not answering the phone. Like it was so retarded. It was so stupid, but it was my fear. Right? I was just nervous as hell to answer the phone. What if I sound stupid? What if I screw up? What if they ask me a million questions? Because for whatever reason in my head or in your head too, we all think the homeowner knows everything there is to know about real estate. Like one thing that you realize by doing this enough, they don't know shit about real estate. And guess what? If you don't know either, you're both kind of in the same boat. Nobody's going to seem like an idiot. You understand? They just know that they have a problem. And you know, you need to know that you are resourceful enough to figure out how to solve that problem, right? So that is the tactic to getting over this is that, yes, you're not going to know everything and that is fine. the thing that you need to know is that if you've been networking, and I put a podcast also about networking like a champ, if you've been networking, you've been finding the right people in your area that know their shit, right? So then when you get something that you're like, man, they're interested, I just don't know what the hell I'm doing, you contact these people. And they come out with you and they help you through this whole situation. So you will deliver. You will always deliver. You understand? And that's what you need to keep in mind. It doesn't mean that you need to deliver that precise moment. Just take whatever information you can, be a human to them, and then later you'll deliver, right? So the only way to get to that point, going back to point number one, is to just call enough people. When you go through the list and you've gone through 50, 100 people. For some people, it's 5. For other people, it's 50. For other people, it's 100. Whatever your number is fine. That's your number. But after you've made that many calls and you've spoken to that many people, you're going to start feeling a little calmer. You're going to start feeling a little more confidence in you. You've gone through a lot of rejections. You've fumbled your way through a lot of conversations. You stuttered. You panicked. You hung up. A million things have happened from that initial phone call until you feel comfortable. But now you start feeling more comfortable. Now is when the magic starts to happen, because now you're feeling a little more comfortable. Now you can start asking some questions. Now you can start building some rapport. And this is where I say cold calling is so much better than door knocking, because you get another shot at another first impression with that person, right? So you screwed up the first phone call. That's fine. Follow up in a couple weeks. You understand? You screwed up that one. That's fine. Follow up in a couple more weeks. Eventually, you'll be so comfortable, because you've gone through the list so many times, that you'll be able to call them and be comfortable and get right through the conversation or through whatever the script is going to be at the time. So number one, before you do anything else, if you're scared of cold calling, if you're intimidated, the only thing you need to do is just get through the list. That's it. As long as you're getting through the list, you're going to be fine. Don't worry about anything else. You're not wasting time. You're learning. You're getting through these barriers and you're building the confidence that you need. Step number two. So step number two only happens when you are comfortable with step number one. So once you're comfortable with step number one, you move to step number two. Step number two is connecting the dots. So what do I mean by this? When you send out to SkipTrace, you're going to get a bunch of phone numbers, right? So what you want to do is connect the dots. You want to make sure the number you're calling belongs to the person that owns the house that you're trying to get a contract on, right? So you want to connect those dots. You want to make sure that is this number to this person who owns this house, right? That's it. That's step number two. That's all you need to know. Because by connecting that, those dots, you start eliminating all the phone numbers that don't work. And then you start narrowing down your list to the address, to the owner, to the phone number. That's it. That's all that matters. It's the only thing you do on step number two is just connect the dots. Now, you might have time that you're going to call somebody, call phone number, and you say, typically what I like to ask is, hi, I would like to speak to the owner of blah, 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 whichever the address is, 123 Elm, right? I want to speak to the owner at 123 Elm. And because a lot of times you're going to call and you're going to say, hi, may I speak to Albert? Because on, you know, on your county website, it said that Albert is the owner of 123 Elm. And then they're like, nope, wrong number. But maybe the people that you're calling are the owner of 123 Elm. It's just the name got screwed up, or it was their father, or it was their uncle, or some shit like that. Because while you may assume, well, if I'm talking about their father called Albert, you know, why are they saying wrong number? Because they are not called Albert. And it's stupid, but I have had it done where they'll tell you it's the wrong number, even though they're a relative of the person I'm calling about. So, you know, this kind of helps in determining, like, am I calling the person that owns the house? Because it doesn't matter who, you know, who it shows on the county. What you want to know is you want to speak to the person that has the legal rights to sell the house that you're going after. All right. Oh, that reminds me. When you send your list in, if you scrub your list to make sure that the homeowner lives in the address or not, maybe they're landlords, when you send it into SkipTrace, you want, when you put in the name, you want to put in the name of the owner that shows on record and the address of the property that you are targeting, not the property of where they live at, right? So if it's a landlord and their address is in California or whatever, you don't want to put that address in. You want to put the address of the property you're looking in, because there's been times where the owner has changed names and you will get the person that lives in California, but they no longer own that house. What you want to try to get is the number that goes to that house. So there has been some different variation results that we've seen with this kind of data. So start that way, put in the name of the owner and then the address of the house that you are targeting, not their mailing address, but the actual address of the subject property. All right. So back to step number two, it's connecting all the dots. All right. So you want to just call and ask, am I speaking to the owner of 103 Elm? They tell you, no, you have the wrong number. All right, cool. Now you scratch that number off your list and you call the next number. There's also a lot of times with the skip tracing, they send you like up to 6-7 numbers, I think. A lot of people were stopping at 3 and 4 numbers because they're like, oh, the first ones are the highest rated ones, you know, so they have the highest probability of being the right number. That's not true. There's countless times that I found the homeowner by calling like the second to last or the last number, the one that actually had like 4% probability it was them, and it was them. So call every number on the list, every single number, you understand, until you find the number that belongs to the person that has the right to the house. So step number two, connect the dots. Step number three, again, you get to step number three only when you're comfortable with one and when you're comfortable with two. Once you're good with number two, you go to number three. Number three is now you get to test out your scripts. So you've called, you've gotten through the list, you're comfortable calling, talking to people. You're connected the dots, so you know the person you're speaking to now owns the property. Now you get to test out the scripts. Now, why do I say test out the scripts? There is not one script that works better than any other one. I don't care what crap somebody's trying to sell you. It doesn't matter. The thing that you need to keep in mind is that when you're calling somebody, you do not know in what area of their life you're catching them on, right? So there are times that you may be calling somebody right after they got a divorce, or right after they, you know, somebody, their family member passed away, or right after they lost their job, or, you know, something terrible might have happened in their life. And the problem is that you call them right at that moment and their emotions is through the roof. And then you're calling about wanting to buy their house. They might curse you out and they might get pissed. And then you're thinking, man, this script sucks. And it's not about the script. It's about you calling at the wrong time, unfortunately. You understand? Because that shit happens. You know, this is we're all humans and these lists are very big. You're bound to call somebody at the wrong time. You're bound to, you know, reach somebody at the wrong time in their day. They might have even just stubbed their toe and they're pissed off and now their phone is ringing and their phone fell down and cracked the screen and they're pissed off. And then they answer and you're like, ah, I want to buy your house, you know, and they're pissed off. They just had a random acts happen in their life that just pissed them off. And now you're the one they're going to let it out on. So don't think that there's a right or wrong script, but you need to test. Oh, shit. You need to test different types of scripts out to see which one feels more natural to you. Which one do you feel that out of everybody you're getting a better result with, right? And so we have a couple different ones that we like to try. One of the ones that makes people feel a little more comfortable is offering a free home evaluation, right? So you just call them and you say, you know, first of all, you call and you say, hi, I want to speak to the, I'm looking to reach the homeowner at 123 Elm. You know, they happen to say, yes, this is him or this is her. All right, great. My name is Jonathan. I'm calling people in your neighborhood to offer them a free home evaluation so they understand what their homes are worth in case they ever decided to sell. Would you be interested in one? Right? So what you want to do is start building some form of dialogue with them, a little back and forth where they tell you, nah, I'm not interested. You know, and then you want to test out different scripts. Like myself, I'm very comfortable cold calling. So when even somebody says, I'm not interested, I'll ask again and be like, you're not interested in a free market analysis, or you're not interested in selling your home, right? Because I want to know. I want them to flat out tell me they're not interested in selling, right? And even if they tell me they're not interested in selling, be like, well, that's perfectly fine. Did you know that you can use this market analysis to also contest your taxes? You know, now that you have an actual value of what your home is worth, maybe you can go and try to get your taxes lowered. You know, anything to get that ball rolling, that dialogue going, right? Where you can capture more information from them. The point on all this is you want to be, when you're calling somebody, not everybody's thinking about selling their home at all times, right? But when you call somebody with the option to sell their home, you plant that little seed in their head where they weren't thinking about it, but now they're kind of starting to think about it. They didn't think about selling their home, but now that you brought it up, it might be something that later that evening, you know, they're talking to their spouse and they're like, you know, somebody called wondering if we were going to sell our home. Like, you know, do you think it's the right time to sell? You start planting that seed. This is why you want to do what step number four is going to be. But before we get there, you want to test out these scripts, right? And then you want to make sure that every time you test out a script, you write it down. Which one did you call them with? What script did you use? Because you want to make sure next time you call them, you try a different one. Or maybe that one went very, very well and you want to just keep doing that one until they kind of give in. But you want to note all these responses so you know what to do when it comes up. Now, step number four is follow-up. Step number four, so you got through number one, right? You're comfortable with that. You're comfortable with number two, connecting the dots and all that. You're comfortable with number three. You're trying different scripts. Now you start following up. So let's say people didn't answer all the phone numbers. On the first round of calls, I just go through all the numbers as quickly as possible. I want to get rid of all the numbers that are disconnected. I want to get rid of all the numbers that I know for a fact is not the person because they told me, hey, you have the completely wrong person. Another technique for that too is if you call them and you say, hi, I'm looking to speak to Albert, and they tell you, no, there's no Albert here. Like, well, I'm looking to reach the owner of this property. All right. Because again, you want to hit whoever the homeowner is of that property. So the first round, I just want to get rid of all the crap numbers that I know for sure. My second round, now my list narrowed down a lot, right? I have a lot less numbers I need to call. Now is when I start leaving voicemails and sending text messages. So I'll call. If I get no answer or nothing comes up, I'll leave a voicemail and I'll send a text message. And in either one, you can test out scripts as well. You can do the same scripts, or you can say, I'm looking to speak to you about your house. This was actually one of our students came up with this. That was actually, I consider it to be pretty good, where he said, you know, I'm looking to, I want to speak to you about your house at 123 Elm, right? Because the reason I like that, it's vague enough where somebody's like, shit, why do you want to speak to me about my house? You know, what happened? Right? Not many people are thinking, oh, it's somebody that's looking to buy houses or whatever. A lot of people, they're just thinking like, well, shit, did something happen to my house? Why do they want to talk to me? What's going on? Right? So it might trigger an actual callback or at least a text where, again, step number two, connect the dots. So if they're calling you, why do you want to talk about my house? You know, now you know that phone number belongs to the owner of that house. Right? So again, step number two. And then you want to go following up. It's countless times that I've negotiated deals through text messages. I'm talking about purchase price, closing dates, everything through a text message because they didn't want to pick up their phone. You understand? They feel more comfortable through a text. Through a text, they can read it, determine what they want to respond at their own pace. So they don't feel bombarded with questions and interrogations and all the shit that, you know, salesmen typically end up doing. So through text messages, it tends to be a lot easier for them. As an investor, you should not care. Your point is to get through to somebody and be able to speak to them whichever way is easiest for them. You understand? Eventually, even through text message, I tell them like, all right, eventually we will have to meet because you got to sign contracts. And I want to actually see the house, and you know, there's a lot of shit that we need to do, so eventually we got to meet. But if you know, so many people, They're just comfortable with text messages. That's fine. Don't judge it. Just do it. So that is step number four. So going back to planting the seed, this was a funny example. My business partner recently got a new car, right? And until he got this car, he wasn't noticing the color and the make of the car that he got everywhere where he drove, where he went. As soon as he bought the car, now he sees this his type of car everywhere he goes, right? So he sees the Ford F-150 in the same color, black, everywhere. He sees it everywhere. He's like, holy crap, there's so many people that have, you know, black Ford F-150s. And that is something, a little trick our mind plays, that we just don't pay attention to things when we are not actively looking for them, right? So by you telling somebody, I want to buy your house, or are you looking to sell your house, or whatever the approach is, or have you thought of selling your house, you're planting that seed that I told you before. So what ends up happening is that next time they go to the grocery store and they're driving through their neighborhood, they start noticing that, like, oh shit, look, these people are selling their house, and these people are selling their house, and that guy's selling their house. And then it gets to a point like, man, maybe we should sell our house. But until you planted that seed, they weren't thinking about it. So this is why follow-ups are so important, because you may speak to them, and another script that we've used is just flat out coming out and saying it. Hi, once you know, obviously you connected the dots, you know who you're talking to. And I was just curious, have you ever thought of selling your house? I'm an investor here in San Antonio, and I love houses in your neighborhood, and I would love to make you a cash offer on yours. Again, by all means, this does not mean this is the best strategy or the best script. It's just another script to use. You understand? Like, one thing I've realized is I've spoken to many, many people that do cold calling, and they have no scripts that make any sense as far as like, ah, oh, this is a home run script. They're like, you know, honestly, I say whatever the hell feels right at the moment, you know? So that's another one. You can be very direct, or you can beat around the bush a little bit and offer them a free market evaluation. You know, yeah, free market evaluation is simple. You get I got a Word doc that I did. You do a simple sheet, you do run some comps, figure out what houses in their areas are selling for, what they're renting for, and assuming that everything's in perfect conditions, this is what the house will sell for, right? You just want to open that dialogue to people, you know, and you want to be able to talk to them and for them to kind of build that rapport with you. So then you can just actually go in there and negotiate. And another great way is while you have them on the phone, if they say, yes, I want a free market analysis, the first thing you should try to do is like, great, when's a good time that I can stop by so I can take a look at the inside of your home to determine what its as is value is, right? That's number one. But if for whatever reason, which is this is majority of the time, they're like, can you just give me a ballpark and this and that, because they don't want to waste their time or whatever it may be. Be like, fine. Ask them, when was the last time, and fill in the blank, right? So when was the last time you updated your roof? When was the last time you updated the kitchen? When was the last time you updated the bathroom? Go through all the major components, the roof, the AC, the kitchens, the bathrooms, when was the last time you painted your whole house? When was the last time you replaced the floors? The reason why when was the last time is because it's going to tell you how old everything is. Because if you ask somebody, what kind of repairs does your house need? You might piss people off, because a lot of people take pride in their home, even though it may be dated. They're like, there's no repairs. My house is in perfect condition. And it's true. I've gone to houses, it's like, yes, it's in perfect condition. But from 1990, you know, it's like those conditions are not really worth full market value right now. So what you want to determine by when was the last time is to see how outdated all these things are. A lot of times they'll answer, oh, I don't know, I haven't changed the roof since I moved in. And then you look that they bought the house in 2000, right? It's like, all right, you have pretty old roof then. If you've been there 19 years and it's never changed, you know, the roof is at least 19 years old. So you want to know these things. So asking them when was the last time is going to give you a really good idea at what are the things that need to get updated and changed. And that being said, that's kind of like the major things as far as asking them questions, going through the free market evaluation, Also, like I said, contesting their taxes. That was an idea my business partner, John Barr, had. Because that's something that in Texas, like they've been, taxes have been jumping like crazy. So you have to go fight them, right? Because you haven't updated your house. You haven't done anything. Your house is dated as shit. You don't want to be paying these ridiculous taxes. And last thing that I want to cover, very important as well, track everything, all right? Create an Excel spreadsheet, have notepads. I don't care. Devise your own program. I don't care what you use, but track everything. Track which numbers, you know, worked, which ones just rang through, which ones had voicemails. What did they respond? What did you respond? What scripts did you use? So one thing that I do is you create kind of like a table of content of scripts, right? So you say script number one is going to be the free market evaluation script. And then this is more or less what I'm going to say. Script number two is going to be, you know, do you want to sell your house? Script number three is, I don't know, fucking figure it out. Come up with different scripts. But number them. So then in an Excel spreadsheet, maybe the same one that American Tracer sends back to you, use the blank spaces next to them and put, okay, spoke to them, script number one. So next time when you follow up, you know you did script number one, which is free market evaluation. So you go back and use script number two. You understand? And then maybe you didn't get through a certain part. So you tell them, you know, they hung up at this point. So you want to make sure to track, because then this is how you're going to know what to change moving forward as you follow up, as you talk to them again. Or maybe you got a really good interest on them. And one thing that I tell people is when you are cold calling, if somebody says, unless they say, yes, come over right now, don't stop cold calling. All right. There's a lot of people that are like, oh, yeah, I would love a free market evaluation. That sounds great. Yeah, here's my email. Here's this. Here's that. I would love one. Awesome. They stop everything that they're doing to put that free market evaluation together. Relax. That person's not going anywhere. Don't lose the momentum of a cold calling. Don't lose that momentum of getting fired up, of having somebody being interested. You understand? Get fired up, get excited, and call the next one, and the next one, and the next one. You understand? Don't stop your cold calling just because people are agreeing or wanting the service. Unless somebody says, hey, yeah, but you have to come right now because I'm going to be leaving town, whatever. If that's the case, that you set up an appointment right away, then yes, go. Because, you know, like they say, a bird in the hand is better than two in the bush. This is definitely the truth. If you can set up an appointment, I set up appointments, I go as soon as I can. You understand? Anybody's interested in selling their house, I'm there. Like, I don't want to beat around the bush. I don't want to wait. You understand? But if they're wanting a free market evaluation, or you call them up later or whatever, don't spend the next hour researching their property and researching all their friends and their Facebook. Relax. Do that tomorrow. Do that in the morning. Do that whenever else. But do your cold calling first. Another technique is schedule your cold calling. This is something that needs to be kind of like a job for you. You understand? This is something that you cannot miss. Don't do cold calling whenever you feel like doing cold calling. Because especially when you're starting off and you're scared, you're never going to feel like cold calling. I mean, that's just the truth. Nobody ever feels like freaking cold calling. So set up a time. So maybe you say every evening at 6 p.m. for an hour, I'm going to go cold call. And so you lock yourself in a room, put your phone on silent, everything, no distractions, and just start cold calling everybody. You understand? For an hour. You don't even think about it. You don't even say, well, you know what? Maybe I can go to the gym, or actually, maybe I can run an analysis on this other neighborhood. Stop. Stop making excuses. 6 o'clock, the alarm rings. Your hands should be on your phones, ready to make those calls. All right? That's going to be the one way that you can actually stick to this, because I see it so many times. It's hard to stick to this. It's very hard. It's very intimidating. And we always find a million and one excuses. And that's all they are. They're just excuses. And guess what? The more excuses you make, the less chance you have at succeeding, because somebody else is actually making phone calls. You know, so it works. It does work. This is not a question of if. It's a question of when. So the more you do it, that when becomes a lot shorter. But if you only do 10 calls a day, you know, and then you call maybe 3 days a week, it's going to take you forever to get a deal done. But if you're calling every single day for an hour, 2 hours, every single day, just going through your list, you might get a deal in a couple weeks. Because just by sheer numbers, you've gone through that list so many times that somebody's bound to say yes. That's just stats. You understand? So again, this does work. It's a really good strategy. It's something that don't get caught up in negotiation tactics on, you know, this or that. Those are just scripts. Test them out later. But for right now, don't get caught up on it. Do step number one. Just get through the list. Don't, if you're scared, if you're petrified, if it's intimidating, just get through the list. Don't think about anything else. Because as soon as you get done with step number one, that you do it correctly, you're going to see your confidence level is going to go up tremendously from when you started. So it works. Put in the work. Get out of your own head. And if you need any motivation, anybody to fire up, reach out to me. I will smack you around until you react. But it does work. So use it. Use it wisely and send me all your feedback. Send me what's worked, what hasn't, what did people say, how did they reject. If people are rejecting you for whatever reason, let me know what they're saying. I can help you come up with a counter to it. All right? So anything that you're having trouble with, reach out to me. We're here to help. So I hope you guys enjoyed this one. Again, any questions, anything, comment below, send me an email, find me on social media, reach out to me. We are here to help you. So I hope this helps. I hope you guys get it. I'm going to put all this information on the show notes below, the promo code for you to get those discounts and everything. So make sure to check out the show notes. I also sometimes add a little more details than I might have forgotten to mention before. So check them out. Make sure you didn't miss anything and try it out. Give it a shot and let me know how it works. All right, guys. So I will catch you guys on the next one. Thanks a lot for listening. I appreciate all your love and all your comments. Means the world to us. So thank you so much for all your support, and I will catch you guys on the next one.